Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Should cyclists have to pass a test before cycling in cities? I want to ask you that today because we received a very interesting message from a listener who thinks that should be the case. And I want you to have a listen to what they said. This person says, who wants to remain anonymous, I know you've talked about cyclists on the show before, but I've never heard the idea of a test being discussed. Cycling is constantly being promoted in this country, and unfortunately, with more and more cyclists, there are more and more accidents and even fatalities. They go on to say, for the record, I am a cyclist and motorist, but the problem is that there are many cyclists who don't drive cars and have no idea about the rules of the road. Some of the things I see happening in Dublin City, where I am from, is crazy. As far as I can see, most of them don't know how traffic works and do really dangerous manoeuvres. Our cycling infrastructure, they go on to say, needs to change, but until that happens, cyclists should be forced to learn the rules of the road to make cities safer for us all. It would be pretty simple to decide on a boundary around a city and make it law that once you are cycling within this boundary, you have to be qualified. Sorry for the long message, but I feel very strongly about this. Well, thanks indeed for your message. So what do you think of that? Maybe you think it's an absolutely ridiculous idea, or maybe you think there's something in it. There have been plenty of suggestions in the past, by the way, that city cyclists should have a licence and insurance, but that idea has never been kind of taken seriously, has it, by lawmakers? And I don't, by the way, just want to have a go at cyclists today. There are plenty of dangerous motorists out there too, but the fact is that motorists have to have passed a theory and practical test to be on the road. Being examined on how to deal with cyclists is part of their test, but as it stands, there is no testing for cyclists, unless, of course, cyclists go out and seek out the training, or maybe that they're part of a club as well. So I want to know if you'd support this idea. The latest regulation, of course, if you've been following the news, is that the government has increased, or will increase, punishment for dangerous overtaking of cyclists, which I suppose, I would think anyway, is a positive move. So should cyclists have to pass a test to cycle in a city centre? That's what we want to talk about today. 1850 410 494 or 087 188 0008 on text or WhatsApp. What do you reckon? Let's go to Paul. You're live in Classic Hits this Wednesday. How are you, Paul?
Mike, how are you?
Not too bad at all. Are you a cyclist, Paul?
I am not. I ride a motorbike, but it's my main thing is a 40-foot truck.
Okay, right. So you would be feared, I'd imagine, by a lot of cyclists around the city areas.
I would say so. Unfortunately, so.
Mm.
I mean, I've had to do an awful lot of training to get to the position I'm in.
Uh huh.
I've spent, one of my licenses alone was over €1,000.
Mm hmm.
To do 5 days in the class to get a license to come out on the road in this thing.
Mm hmm.
I would have no problem with cyclists having to pay insurance and tax.
Oh, so you would say...
They're a road user like everybody else.
Right, okay. But see, here's the thing. Cycling is constantly promoted, as that person rightly said in their message. And the argument also would be that if you start saying, well, you're going to have to pay to cycle, you're going to have to get insurance, you're going to have to get a licence, you know, people are less likely probably to get on a bike and thus causing more cars to be on the road.
I mean, if you're under the age of 16, fine. You don't need to have a license or insurance or any of that jazz. That's understandable. But if you're over the age of 16 and you're using the road like everybody else, cycling the way you've got to get to, and like the situation I had last night coming from Santry down towards Northside, two cyclists coming round the roundabout at the intersection with the M1.
Mm-hmm.
He went past me in the middle of two cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to then go into the... I was in the left-hand lane to continue on to go straight and then join the traffic on the opposite side. There's a bus lane on your left. I had to go into traffic on the right. Three times in that space, this guy tried to overtake me.
But do you honestly think if that guy had have gone through an examination process or a theory test or whatever, that he wouldn't do that? Is it just that you think he doesn't know the rules of the road and is doing something dangerous because of that?
Oh, this guy knew the rules of the road, Mike, but I think he was more interested in the headphones he had on and listening to the music that was blaring away in his ears rather than pay attention to the traffic that was going on around him.
Mm.
The end of the day, the only one that's going to get hurt between him and me is him.
Yes, that is true.
But if he hits me... He, like a situation I had in Dunamead, where I was turning left, I checked, this guy came out from the right-hand side around the back of me, and as I was turning left, he went straight into my passenger door. Now, that's my fault, not his. Yet he's the one at fault. But there's nothing I can do to him. Just got back on his bike and drove off.
But when you say insurance and licensing and all that, and you say okay to the test as well, like, is it logical to think that that could happen across the board? And I'm talking outside of cities as well, rural roads, estates and all that.
No, I don't. But, I mean, we have to set a standard.
Yeah.
If you don't set a standard, people will just do exactly what they want. And unfortunately, there are people out there with licenses, also in my profession, who do whatever the hell they want. But it's the responsible drivers like myself who take my license very seriously and abide by the rules of the road. We're the ones getting punished. But and the worst thing I want to do is go out on the road and hurt anybody.
Yeah, of course.
If I hit someone in this, they're dead.
Yeah, and nobody does. But there is this massive friction between road users, vehicle road users and cyclists at the moment.
Because vehicle road users see the behaviour, not all cyclists, but a vast majority of cyclists. When you drive in the city centre, which I don't do a lot, and the last time I was in the car in the city centre, I saw how bad it is. Certain cyclists do not obey the rules of the road, but because straight-through traffic lights, they don't care.
But to be fair to cyclists, they are told, get out on your bike, it's the healthy thing to do, and we simply do not have a good enough infrastructure for cycling.
It does say that, Mike. Yes, it does say that.
But I'm just saying, to be fair to cyclists, like a quick anecdote, and I was talking to a neighbour of mine, and he's a cyclist, and he was telling me, and I was quite shocked by it, actually. He was only cycling around Clondalkin, Lucan area, and it wouldn't be exactly the city centre.
Taking your life in your hands over there.
Yeah, but he'd be, what do you mean? Do you mean on the road or not?
In more ways than one.
But what he was saying was that he gets this massive abuse anytime he does the route. And I said, well, why are you getting the abuse? Because he says there is a cycle lane, however, I cycle on the road. And he says that everybody abuses him out the window when they're overtaking him, saying, use the cycle lane, you whatever. And he's saying,
that's what the cycle lane is there for.
But his argument to me was the cycle lane in this particular area where he cycles always has broken glass, it has hazardous material on it, and he doesn't want to risk his safety, and instead he goes on the road. But he can't sit there explaining to some red-faced truck driver who's so angry that, let me explain to you, let me show you the glass that's on that road, or let me show you the potholes in the road. I can't do it.
I completely understand that, but as you said, cyclists are encouraged to get out on their bikes as much as possible with responsibility. It doesn't say get out on your bike and do whatever the hell you want. You're invulnerable. At the end of the day, drivers have to realise that cyclists are very vulnerable. But cyclists have to realise that they're just as vulnerable. There's no big cage around them.
Okay, so before I move on, because I want to go on to Eric, Paul. As a truck driver, would you see this as a logical step in what this listener has texted into us? He is saying, he or she is saying, that you should have a sort of a city boundary, that if you are cycling within the city in a congested area, that you should have to have passed a theory test of some sort.
I think, Mike, as far as I know, and I mentioned it, I think, to Aisling, in Canada they have a very similar system where you have to have your bike registered.
Yeah.
So you are actually, I don't know if you're insured or taxed, but you're registered.
I looked up about Canada, actually. They've sort of dipped in and out of the law over the years. They used to have it, then it was out, then it was they tried to bring it back in. However, what I did find was that some cities in the United States, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I'll have a look again, some of them do have a licensing scenario. And that's mostly actually to protect the cyclists if their bike gets robbed or whatever. But there is some accountability should an accident ever happen.
It's just, I mean, I'll give you a simple example. I was sitting in a course last year that I have to do every year, 7 hours training, sitting in a room, being told how to drive a truck by somebody who's never driven a truck.
Nice.
And I ended up sitting beside a guy who was involved in a fatal crash where he was turning his truck left and cyclists came in, and every truck, 90% of trucks have a sign on the back, don't pass this vehicle if turning left.
Yeah.
First thing he realised was another motorist yelling at him because the cyclist was actually wrapped around his back axle.
Right.
We don't see it. Yeah. We won't even feel you.
Yeah.
So if anything, to bring on more responsibility. I've no problem taking responsibility myself, but cyclists have to take their share. They can't just walk around willy-nilly.
Okay, well, hang on there, Paul. In 1850 410 494, if you want to get in touch about this, by the way, or text or WhatsApp 087-188-0008. Should cyclists have to pass a test to cycle in a city centre? Eric, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you doing, Eric?
How are you doing, Mike? That's no problem.
Not too bad. Go ahead, Eric. What's your point?
Well, between cyclists now and scooters, and with the increase on the road,
yeah,
there should definitely be proper credentials at entry. You know, some of these, you know, parking bikes, some of them are electric and some of them are battery and what have you here. But, you know, first of all, the basics should be for safety. Mm-hmm. Not only for themselves. We hear all these politicians making waves there and failing to put their brains into gear. They're making all proposals for cyclists. But there's no good if cyclists are going to come on the road and they're going to be a danger, not only to themselves. First of all, the visibility thing is appalling. You don't all have jackets on them. You don't all have helmets on them. And every driver on the road, and we can't be all wrong, we can't be all making a story, will tell you a half dozen stories about cycling. Now, when they tell you something that happened to be there just only in recent times, I was driving through Cable Street, and a cyclist came through the lights, crashed into me, I got out of the car, picked him up off the ground, and got him to his side there anyway, and I was talking to him. And I put his bike into the car, and I said, "Where do you live?" He wasn't going too far from where I was going.
Mike.
Just one second, Paul, yeah?
I'm going to get loaded here, I got to go.
I'll go on, no problem, Paul.
Sorry,
thanks.
Cheers, man.
Thanks, man, take care.
I actually brought the man home. He was 400% in the wrong. And a couple of days later, I get the usual, in the post, I got me insurance around to me. There was a claim going into me.
Right.
Now, we all have this type of thing happening here, and liability cover should be mandatory. He's able to put in a claim, a spurious claim against me and my dad, which I contested. But we should have public liability cover on cyclists. There's no great rocket science on that. And then it's a level playing field. Now, you're going to see it every day of the week. If you come down towards Leonard's Corner every morning, you'll see the cyclists there at the junction, the crossroad. They're 4 and 5 abreast. They're tipping off cars. And when people bark their horns at them, they're abusing them. They're driving on.
But
there's no standards whatsoever, Mike, and I think there should be, fundamentally and basically, there should be standards before you go out.
I know, but I've no problem if a cyclist does something bad, like any, I don't condone road rage anyway, but I do think that cyclists seem to get it very bad, and it's just for maybe holding up traffic or whatever. I understand there's no problem having a conversation with someone if they've done something wrong on the road, breaking a red light or whatever, but I told that story about my neighbour, and I do see that happening, that there's a lot of aggression on the road aimed towards cyclists who are just simply cycling, and the driver is just cheesed off that they can't go at the speed they want to go. And that's happening as well. And that's causing accidents too.
Well, bro, Mike, now, if I just comment on that there. I think that's very selective, and it's also very subjective, because it's not acknowledging the problem. Now, the problem is, okay, if someone cuts out in front of you and bashes off your car and the driver makes a proverbial thief in the night after scraping your car, you're going to have some sort of rage yourself.
Yeah, of course. I understand that, yeah.
There's nothing as a deterrent here, and this is what we need. We want the government to get up off the point quarters and start acting effectively and efficiently and not start kicking the can down the road on these other issues. Look, public liability cover should be mandatory. And
okay.
If you don't be on the road, okay, don't be on the road. But let's have the level playing field for everybody. Now, you're going to hear hundreds of complaints from people, and they're all saying the same thing. So, you know, everybody can't be wrong.
Okay, well, hang on a second, Eric, because I want to talk to Sinead. Sinead, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Sinead?
Hiya, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all. You're a driving instructor, Sinead.
I am indeed, yeah.
Right, tell us your point on this.
Well, every day I'm teaching people how to drive and the rules of the road and how to react to hazards and deal with hazards. But the problem is that, you know, you're dealing with these cyclists that are on the road that aren't obeying the rules of the road. And as a cyclist, they are a motorist on the road, and they should be obeying the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that they're not wearing high vis, they're not wearing helmets, they're out cycling in the middle of the road, they're, you know, doing dangerous things like cutting you wrong lanes and roundabouts, things like that.
Mm.
And it is making it much harder for these motorists to work around them.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just looking up, sorry to butt in for a second, I'm looking up citizens information here on the various laws and that that apply to cyclists. Why is it not mandatory to wear some form of helmet or high-vis protection?
The thing is that we're focusing so much on motorists must do this, motorists must do that. Motorists must be insured, they must work around the bike. If they don't, the motorist is at fault every single time. And the problem is the cyclists are getting away with everything. They're not being regulated. They're not being told, you must do this as well. If you want to be on the road, you must obey the rules. You must wear a high vis. If you want to be seen, if you want to be safe, you must have your helmet on. They're not being regulated, and they're not being told that they must do these things. And therefore, they're on the bike, they're causing hazards, and the motorists are at fault at the end of the day.
Yeah, it says here, you are not legally obliged to wear a helmet or high visibility clothing while cycling in Ireland, but the Road Safety Authority of Ireland recommends cyclists wear both for safety.
They're not, and they should be. It should be absolutely mandatory. If you want to be on the road and you want to come up against a car or a truck or anything like that, you should be seen. You need a high vis. We see it every day where a cyclist will just randomly appear out of nowhere. They might be in a shade, the sun is in your eye, and you don't see them until the last minute because they're wearing black.
Yeah.
There's no lights, there's no high vis, and there's no helmets on them.
But here's what I think was absolutely ridiculous, and it goes back a good number of years now, probably 7, 8, 9 years now at this stage, where the free bicycle scheme came out and various points across the city. It started in Dublin, it's gone to Galway and other parts of the country now as well. And that was brought out and people were encouraged to go on cycles. So what then happened was lots of people who weren't experienced at cycling are now out in the road because they have these cards that they can just get a bike and go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But nothing has been put in place before that all came about, and particularly some sort of safe infrastructure for cycling. Surely that should be what to do before you bring in and encourage people to go and cycle in the city. And I say that, by the way, in some defence of cyclists, because there isn't a safe infrastructure there. You see cycle lanes where they also double up as parking spaces, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And in relation to being a driving instructor, what are you telling people to do? What is your line when it comes to dealing with cyclists?
Well, obviously you have to give them a metre when under 50 kilometres and a metre and a half if you're over 50 kilometres, and keep well back. And if you're turning left and they're beside you, you just have to wait. We just have to wait and let them go. But you need to be constantly checking the wing mirrors because they are appearing out of nowhere. And the other thing is that they're cycling so fast that if you went to get out of your car and they didn't leave enough space, you are going to hit them and there's no way that they can stop for you. Whereas when I'm teaching my customers how to deal with hazards on the road, I tell them, you drive a speed that's suitable. You know, look at your potential hazards. Could a person walk out in front of you? Could a car pull out in front of you? If so, are you driving at the right speed to be able to manage that? And I'm seeing the cyclists flying up beside me in traffic where somebody might suddenly decide to turn left and they're right beside them. There is no way that they'd be able to stop in time.
Mm-hmm. What is the most common thing you find or the big warning point that you would tell your customers?
Roundabouts?
Well,
I'm saying the cyclists, they don't know how to use the roundabouts. They're not using the correct lanes, and mm-hmm. motorists are having to jump on their brakes and avoid it getting too close to them, you know?
Right, okay. Sorry, you were going to make another point, were you?
No, I was going to answer the other question, but I didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I have to take a very quick break anyway, Sinead. I was going to ask you, you did answer my question. I was going to say, what's the most common sort of thing you see cyclists doing, or what do you tell your customers when it comes to the most common thing cyclists doing? You said roundabouts.
The most common problem I find is that they cannot be seen.
And cannot be seen.
They can't be seen.
All right, Sinead.
Yeah.
All right, hang on there. Thanks, Sinead. Appreciate that. 087-188-0008 if you want to get in touch, or give us a shout on 1850-410-494. This whole topic has started from a message from a listener who has suggested that cyclists go through some form of theory test. And they're not suggesting anything major. They're not suggesting, insurance or liability costs or whatever. They're just saying a simple test, and to set out a boundary within cities across the country, and to say to those cyclists, look, if you want to cycle within these city boundaries, you must have passed a theory test, because that person's fear that got in touch with us is that a lot of cyclists just simply don't know the rules of the road. And of course, if you want to go the whole healthy route and say, well, it should be cyclists first and motorists second, well, the fact of the matter is, we are where we are, and there are more motorists, and motorists can do a hell of a lot more damage to a cyclist than a cyclist can do to a motorist. dangerous. So surely it's worth cyclists at least knowing how vehicles work and how the rules of the road when it comes to vehicles work. Now, you're very welcome, Mike. It is Mike Hogan in for Niall Boylan today until 2 o'clock. 1850 410 494 is the number if you want to get in touch. Lots of people getting in touch in relation to what Sinead said. Sinead is a driving instructor and she was on before the break and she was talking about the various rule breaking that goes on with cyclists and that, and she did mention about high-vis vests and so on, and there's been a lot of reaction to that because, as I said a few minutes ago, it's not compulsory to wear a high-vis vest or helmets or anything like that. It is compulsory, by the way, to have front and back lights on your bike, and you can be stopped and given a penalty fine for that. But this WhatsApper says, fully agree with that girl, cyclists should wear high-vis, but they will not in a country that has bad weather conditions. It should be mandatory, not just advised. Mike, simple. First rule, you should not be cycling in a city centre without high visibility vests. €120 fine, says Alan. And then another one as well. Helmets, high vis and lights should be compulsory by law. So as I say, the lights are compulsory, but not helmets and not high vis vests as well. I suppose it's seen as it's up to you if you want to be safe in that regard. But all they can do is tell you to be safe with regard to the bike you have, that it should have a front and back light. Anyway, we are talking about cycling. It's one of the hot topics at the moment, isn't it? And it's one of the hot topics because there's an increase in the amount of cyclists right around the country, and unfortunately we have seen some bad accidents in recent times and some fatalities as well, which is an awful shame. I guess it probably will happen the more cyclists that are out in the road, the more motorists that are out in the road, but it is sad and it's not nice, and we're trying to figure out what the safest practice should be to hope that none of these things happen in the future. And one suggestion by a listener that we started with on the show this afternoon is that cyclists should have to do some form of theory test, and if you're cycling within the city boundaries, that you should have to produce your license essentially to say that you have passed a theory test, that you know how the rules of the road work, that you know how the rules of the road work with regard to motorists as well as your own cycling ability. Ian, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Ian?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. What do you think then? A sort of a licensing approach to this? Is that best practice?
Well, to be fair, Mike, to motorists, we're after spending a million on cycle lanes. We've spent a million on traffic management policies. They've now brought in a new bylaw. And there's no onus whatsoever on the cyclists. It's everything is to do with the motorists.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I was saying to your researcher, you go to cities like Amsterdam and there's thousands of cyclists, thousands of tourists, trams, cars, trucks, deliveries, and everybody gets on.
Yes, and by the way, can I just say that I've been to Amsterdam and I've actually cycled in Amsterdam, and I'll tell you, I'd actually feel safer cycling here, but that's just because I didn't know it at the time, and it's very difficult. It's a whole complex system that you really, really need to know how to cycle in Amsterdam, because they have almost like, they're almost like motorways when it comes to actual cycle lanes.
Yeah, but at the other side of that is the bikes that they cycle in Amsterdam are, you know, I don't know, have they any gears at all, most of them. You know, we've got really high-speed bikes on the road today. I mean, guys can travel at some speed now.
Yeah.
And they're in around the city centre. And the onus is put on the motorists to be safe. And there's no onus whatsoever on the cyclists. It's crazy. It's madness. And so, if you're... Like, the ad just came on there before you came back to live on radio, saying, oh, how dangerous it is for a cyclist if they get hit. Should that even more reason why they should be safer? And all your listeners will tell you, I mean, every motorist will tell you they're going through red lights, they're going around, you know, they're breaking rules of the road every day of the week.
But the fact
that...
There's
arrogance that... about them as well, Mike, that I think gets the most motorists, you know, on your nerve. You know, you're driving along, there could be three or four guys in front of you on a country road, and they're out for a Sunday cycle, not a bother.
Yeah.
They don't care how many cars are behind them, they don't care how much they're going to inconvenience the motorists behind them.
I know, but you say, Ian, that there's no onus being put on the cyclists. However, there are already rules in place, though. Now, whether, you know, the guards are doing anything about them is another question. But, I mean, I'll read you the rules, and I'm sure you're all aware of them anyway. But these are the rules, these are the laws since 2015. The Gardaí have the power to stop cyclists and fine them for specific fixed charges if... You've no front or rear light during lighting up hours, riding a bike without reasonable consideration, failing to stop stop a school warden sign, a red lamp if it's lit, and it goes on and on about contraflow cycle lanes and red lamps on cycle lanes and so on. And you can get a fixed penalty as well if you cycle in a pedestrianised street or area. So the rules are in place. It's not like we don't have any rules for cyclists.
Yeah, but it would be great to see the statistics of how many cyclists have been charged with any of those offences in the last 4 years.
Well, yeah, all I can say is I have seen some checkpoints in the past. It's no stat, it's just off the top of my head. I have witnessed it in the past, yeah, where I've seen cyclists being reprimanded by certain Gardaí for not having lamps or whatever on their bikes. So it does happen, but you're right. I would imagine the statistics are fairly low in comparison to the penalties motorists receive.
And maybe there should be a speed limit on certain bikes as well in their own city centres. They shouldn't be allowed to cycle the way they do. Again, like in Amsterdam, everybody just gets along. You know, there's thousands of people on the streets.
I know, but if you're going to be fair, if you're going to compare it to Amsterdam, you have to compare the infrastructure, and they're not comparable. Like, our cycling infrastructure isn't close to what Amsterdam is.
It isn't, but Amsterdam is a far tighter city in a lot of ways than Dublin.
No, but have you been to Amsterdam?
It's loads of times, yeah.
But have you not seen that the individual contraflow cycle lanes that they have all around the city? Whereas here we have some small cycle lanes. Sometimes they double up as parking spots. You know, you eventually have to go onto a road after that cycle lane runs out, and so on and so forth. Like, it's not the same.
I know, but Mike, at the end of the day, like, you could say we've made huge strides as well for cyclists.
We've what, sorry?
We've made huge strides for cyclists. To provide them with safer lanes, safer driving in their own city centres. Mm. But again, I think the onus has to be put back on the cyclists as well. We're changing laws, we're spending millions on cycle lanes, yet they need to sort of step up now and say, right, you know, I got to be a bit more responsible. I'm not going to break lights. I'm not going to be speeding around corners. I'm not going to be, you know, overtaking. And listen, another law that should be brought in is, middle-aged men going around with their arse spade into lycra shorts.
Middle-aged men in lycra.
Yeah, again, in Amsterdam, everyone just cycles in their clothes. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, look, that it seems to be...
You just hear, they think you get grown men. You know what I mean? In their 50s and 60s, thinking they're in the Tour de France.
I know, but I mean, in fairness, it just seems to be a fad or a trend at the moment. It's the new golfing, isn't it? It's the heading out of the weekend and getting the spiked shoes and the lycra and all the rest of it and going up. I don't see them doing any harm unless they're breaking any rules, though.
Well, they're
doing breaking the rules of your eyes, is it? Right. Hang on a second, Ian. Paul, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Paul?
Well, I'm good. How are you, Mike?
Grand. Cyclists are getting an awful rap today now, I have to say. Are you going to defend cyclists, Paul?
Well, I cycle to work every day, cycle home, and at weekends I drive. So I see both perspectives. What Ian is saying there, some of it's quite true. The onus has to be kind of on both cyclists and motorists.
Uh-huh.
Because the things I see every day as I'm cycling, I stop at every single red light, every single pedestrian crossing. I will not go through a red light. Some of the things that I've seen, I've actually seen a woman come to a major junction, stop, wait until there was no traffic and going across. And as she went by me, I looked, and on the back of the bike she had a 3 or 4 year old child.
Wow.
Absolutely ridiculous.
A 3 or 4 year old child on the back of the bike?
On the back of the bike, you know, a little seat on the back of the bike.
Going through a major junction, a major breaking junction. A red light.
Yeah. At the same junction, I was stopped on the right-hand lane. I went past the car. There was a line of traffic for going straight. There was one car to turn right. Mm. I was in front of him. But he wasn't turning right, he was going straight. So what he did was he drove up onto the island around me while the lights were red to get out in front of me, to get out ahead of a line of traffic. So I see both perspectives.
Yeah, and I know we could go around in circles by saying what we've seen from a motoring perspective as well. But like, it seems to be the new thing now to put the foot down on amber, or certainly put the foot down even just before it goes red. I mean, that is just it's bizarre, and I see it happening all over the place at the moment. No one seems to want to stop at a red light unless it's red on entry. Everyone revs it up and is really dangerous.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about. So that's a motoring side of you point of it, but. Anyway, go on, sorry.
Yeah, then you know, that you have the cycle lanes, and as you're saying, there was millions pumped into all the European countries, as far as I know, to provide safe cycle lanes.
Yeah.
And then what most countries did is they have the contraflow cycle lane, which is cordoned off from the main road. What we did is we painted a line down the sides of the road,
yeah,
which is car parking as well.
Yeah.
Now, the other, another thing that Ian said there, we hear every year how many people have been fined penalty points for motoring offences.
Mm.
I wonder, does anybody have any idea of what kind of fines have been handed out to cyclists since 2015, when all these new rules came in? I'd say that it's probably minimal.
Well, in fairness, Ian did bring that question up, and as I say, all I can go on is I've seen a couple of checkpoints where they do seem to be stopping cyclists, but I don't know any stats. I'll have a look for you. I'll see if there are any stats, actually, but they don't pop into my memory immediately. But as I say, probably I think we're all assuming that it's quite low, right? Or that,
I
that it would be
so,
low.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so in that sense, then, are we all in agreement that, although motorists are being told, you know, what to do and new laws and all the rest of it, that the same should apply for cyclists? So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the guards are going to be hammering motorists for being dangerous against cyclists, it should be the exact same. And cyclists should be told, listen, you behave, you don't break lights or whatever, you'll be fine, but otherwise we're going to step this up now.
Absolutely. Well, you're using a public highway, and you know, you have an onus to people that are also using it, whether you're a cyclist, a motorist or a pedestrian crossing, in, you know, where there's no traffic lights.
Mm.
You really have to give everybody respect that are using it. Another thing, and it was touched on there earlier, so, motorcyclists, if they don't have a helmet, they're breaking the law. And I'm a stickler for this kind of thing. You really should have a helmet, because it's not the fact that you might get hit by a car or fall off. You might just hit a pothole, fall off.
Yeah. I've heard these
helmets have to protect your head.
I don't know how ridiculous this is and whether it was an excuse for the lad not to mess up his hair, but I would talk to a cyclist and he cycles, he'll remain nameless. However, he said that I said, well, you're mad, you don't wear a helmet. And he said it can actually be potentially more dangerous for you. Now, I don't know where he got that from or why he thinks that, but he reckons that there's some stat to show that. And by the way,
there was a report in a paper there recently to say that potentially they could be more dangerous. I don't know where they get the stat from. I'd say they'd save more lives than would
yeah, I would have thought so. I guess it's maybe the way you fall or whatever, maybe with the strap or the way it breaks. I don't know, but the advice from the Road Safety Authority would be to use one. But as we say, it's not law. Just one second before I head to the break, just stay with me there, because I want to go to two things here. Just very briefly, I want to look at this message. Where's the one that said, it's gone now. Here it is. Below is our fines for cycling back in Australia. And it is Australia, and it's heavily reduced deaths and the craziness on the roads by cyclists. So it is riding in a no bicycle zone, $155 fine, and they're all $155 fine. Also for failure to use a bike lane, failure to signal, carrying a passenger improperly on your bike, not wearing a helmet is $185 fine in Australia apparently, and driving too close behind a moving vehicle is $233, and failure to stop at a red light is $389. And I'm just looking up here in relation to our laws on using a cycle lane, because I think there's a lot of confusion insofar as whether cyclists should have to or have not to use a cycle lane. What's your understanding of that, by the way, Paul?
Well, the cycle lanes are there to be used. Now, if they're going to say that you have to use the cycle lane, that's all well and good. But that means then that they're going to have to stop cars parking in cycle lanes.
Well, see, the reason I want to ask you that is because I see here the question on the citizens' information page is, am I legally obliged to use cycle lanes? And a lot of people tend to think you are, but it says you do not have to use a cycle lane unless the cycle lane is contra-flow, allowing cyclists to go in opposite directions to the traffic on a one-way street. So you don't have to use, it's not law to use a cycle lane. So all of those, road ragers out there beeping at cyclists who aren't using the cycle lane, they don't have to.
Yeah, but I think common sense, they really should use them, you know.
Especially
you see some of these, they're alongside a path or up on a path, which are part is for pedestrians, the other part is for cyclists.
Mm.
But still, you will see
them on the path.
Cyclists on the road.
Or on the road, I know what you mean. All right, well, listen, I do have to take a break. Thanks for that, Paul. I appreciate it. Paul cycles during the week and drives at the weekend, so he sees both sides as well. So interesting to talk to him. We'll take another few minutes on this. 1850 410 494 if you want to get in touch, or 087 188 0008. We're talking cyclists and whether cyclists should have to pass some form of theory test to cycle within city boundaries. Now, welcome back. It is Mike Hogan in for Niall Boylan until 2 o'clock today. Lots of reaction to this one on cyclists and whether or not they should have some sort of theory test to cycle within city centres. If you want to keep getting in touch with this, 087 188 0008 on WhatsApp, and you can send audio messages as well, and we've had a couple of those in.
I'm a professional driver. I drive for a living. I drive in Dublin City every single day and the surrounding areas. The worst people on the road are cyclists. They don't abide by any of the rules of the road. They break red lights. They go up one way streets when they shouldn't be going. They come up the right side even though they're turning left. And as your previous caller said, the driver of the car is always at fault, regardless. So I think anybody that's using the road in any respect should have training. There should be a minimum age as well, because this whole thing with 10, 12, 13, 14-year-olds cycling down the road, that shouldn't be happening. Like,
interesting point, and we also had this one in.
Hi, Mike. When I was a kid at school, we did a cycling proficiency test. This might just be in the UK, but it was in the first or second year of junior school, and we were given this test after about a week's training, so Monday to Friday, about an hour a day, and then there was a test at the end, and there was outside people came in to do it. I can't remember that much about it. It was actually quite a long time ago for me now, but anyway, that's a pretty good idea. Get the kids learning it properly, and then crack on when they're adults. Okay, thanks for a great show, Mike. Bye.
And thanks a million for your WhatsApp audio message. If you want to do the same, 087 188 0008. I remember doing that as well. We had someone come into our school and tell us how to cycle safely, and we went around the schoolyard and all this sort of stuff, and whoever won or was the best at doing it or whatever, they examined us, went on to some countrywide competition of safe cycling or something. That's just come back into my memory now. Maybe more of you did that in school. James, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, James?
Mike, how are you?
Not too bad at all. You're a bus driver.
I am, yeah.
You see it all, I assume?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of experience. I'm not saying I'm the perfect driver. I have every letter on my license. I've drove since I'm in my 50s now. I'm driving since I was 14, 15. Like, off-road sports and everything else started that way. And I also ride a motorcycle.
Okay.
To and from work, I use the car when I can get a lend of it. But I really think the way around this is like, when we used to speed and we used to drink with the car, until we brought in penalty points, until we started dealing with it head on, then we all started taking it serious. Up to that, it was you get pay a small for whatever, it doesn't matter. You go off, you go again, you didn't really think about it. Now you know there's a chance of losing your license. Mm-hmm. And the way I see around it is, if you have a registration tag that's unique to you, no matter what bike you're on, if you're caught without it, something like a £1,000 fine, that registration tag is unique to you. Mm-hmm. If you go through a junction, cause a major incident, maybe someone loses their life or something because of something you did, cycle away, you can't even be found. If that tag, that registration is there, you can follow up with this person. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, they can be taken to a court and shown what they did was. I think people would stop then and think, I mean, one of the worst culprits, and I hate them, I'm not picking on cyclists here, they're entirely used the road. But for me to use the road, I have to do tons of training courses. I have to be licensed. I have to be insured. I have to have a registration tag on the vehicles I'm driving. I think one of the worst culprits on the road is these guys who deliver the fast food. I hate to. I'm not having that bashing on these guys.
Yeah.
I've literally been turning on. I won't take any light serious now. I turn on a green arrow and expect to see a cyclist coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen sign language that I don't even understand, you know, been given back to me. It's atrocious. It wouldn't be accepted anywhere else.
Well, certainly, I have seen that in the past. I'm not naming any particular companies or anything like that, but I'm actually... Yeah, and I probably know who you're talking about, but...
I'm sure you do.
I'm actually, as well, I'm talking about all or many delivery drivers, be it for, you know, postal stuff or whatever. And I guess it's maybe... I don't know, because they're doing it every day and there's a confidence there, or they're under a lot of pressure to get from A to B very quickly.
The more deliveries you do, the more money you make.
Well, that's it.
That's not... The road is not the place to do that. You know, I've witnessed a cycle knock down a pedestrian, going through a pedestrian crossing. I actually witnessed this, jumped off the bike. He was on the ground, obviously, and he jumped up from the bike and blocked a big load of nonsense. a load of people standing around this elderly person. He got back on that bike and cycled away.
Yeah.
We called an ambulance and everything for her when the guards and all arrived. Says, well, what are we looking at? A guy on a bike and a pair of jeans and a black jacket. Should that? It there's no accountability to these guys. So therefore, there's no punishment. There's no, so they can do what they like. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you feel you can do what you want, and there's no one ever going to do anything to you.
And I think, to be fair, every motorist has some form of story. You would probably have more than most, considering you're a bus driver. However, you're on the road all the time. But,
one thing in defence, Mike, to the Gardaí, for the first time ever. Now, what I've witnessed, over last Friday night, the guards in Pear Street had up to 8 to 9 cyclists. There was 3 guards. And one guard was stopping them and pulling them in without light.
Yeah.
And the other guard was actually taken. I was at the couple of satellites that was watching this. They were taking identification out, like whether it be a credit card or something.
Right.
And he was taking the details.
Yeah.
Now, they were protesting 90, but he was saying, I don't care. Like, yeah. He was saying, you know, you shouldn't be.
Yeah, as I said, I did see that before. I'm running very quickly out of time, but what were they stopping them for? Was it lights?
Lights, basically.
Lights on the bike?
Lights. Now, I know you're in a hurry there, Mike. I witnessed a guard nearly coming off his motorbike by a delivery driver on a cycle delivering food. And the guy, how he kept the bike, I was on a cyclist, a motorcyclist, and he said, how he kept the bike upright, I will never know.
Never know.
He would have, if he had fell the way he diverted, he was coming into oncoming traffic, like something,
I know.
Not just them, they're putting themselves at risk, but they're also putting a lot of, it'll change when we have a major incident, like everything, it's going to wait till we have a major incident.
Okay, well listen, I'm going to let you go there, James, and the amount of stories just like that coming in this afternoon as well, kind of mirror what you're saying. Thanks, James, and thanks for all your calls and texts on that. We're going to move on.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.